Chapter 25. I stand with Will and Christina at the railing overlooking the chasm, late at night after most of the Dauntless have gone to sleep. Both my shoulders sting from the tattoo needle. We all got new tattoos a half hour ago. Tori was the only one in the tattoo place, so I felt safe getting the symbol of abnegation. A pair of hands, palms up as if to help someone stand, bounded by a circle, on my right shoulder. I know it was a risk, especially after all that's happened, but that symbol is a part of my identity, and it felt important to me that I wear it on my skin. I step up on one of the barrier's crossbars, pressing my hips to the railing to keep my balance. This is where Al stood. I look down into the chasm, at the black water, at the jagged rocks. Water hits the wall and sprays up, misting my face. Was he afraid when he stood here? Or was he so determined to jump that it was easy? Christina hands me a stack of paper. I got a copy of every report the erudite have released in the last 6 months. Throwing them into the chasm won't get rid of them forever, but it might make me feel better. I stare at the first one. On it is a picture of Janine, the erudite representative. Her sharp but attractive eyes stare back at me. Have you ever met her? I ask Will. Christina crumples the first report into a ball and hurls it into the water. Janine? Once, he replies. He takes the next report and tears it to shreds. The pieces float into the river. He does it without Christina's malice. I get the feeling that the only reason he's participating is to prove to me that he doesn't agree with his former faction's tactics. Whether he believes what they're saying or not is unclear, and I am afraid to ask. Before she was a leader, she worked with my sister. They were trying to develop a longer-lasting serum for the simulations, he says. Janine's so smart you can see it even before she says anything. Like a walking, talking computer. What? I fling one of the pages over the railing, pressing my lips together. I should just ask. What do you think about what she has to say? He shrugs. I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea to have more than one faction in control of the government. And maybe it would be nice if we had more cars and fresh fruit and... You do realize there's no secret warehouse where all that stuff is kept, right? I ask, my face getting hot. Yes, I do, he says. I just think that comfort and prosperity are not a priority for abnegation, and maybe they would be if the other factions were involved in our decision-making. Because giving an erudite boy a car is more important than giving food to the factionless? I snap. Hey now, says Christina, brushing Will's shoulder with her fingers. This is supposed to be a lighthearted session of symbolic document destruction, not a political debate. I bite back what I was about to say and stare at the stack of paper in my hands. Will and Christina share a lot of idle touches lately. I've noticed it. Have they? All that stuff she said about your dad, though, he says, makes me kind of hate her. Can't imagine what good can come of saying such terrible things. I can. If Janine can make people believe that my father and all the other abnegation leaders are corrupt and awful, she has support for whatever revolution she wants to start, if that's really her plan. But I don't want to argue again, so I just nod and throw the remaining sheets into the chasm. They drift back and forth, until they find the water. They will be filtered out at the chasm wall and discarded. It's bedtime, Christina says, smiling. Ready to go back? I think I want to put Peter's hand in a bowl of warm water to make him pee tonight. I turn away from the chasm and see movement on the right side of the pit. A figure climbs toward the glass ceiling, and judging by the smooth way he walks, like his feet barely leave the ground, I know it's Four. That sounds great, but I have to talk to Four about something, I say, pointing toward the shadow ascending the path. Her eyes follow my hand. Are you sure you should be running around here alone at night? She asks. I won't be alone. I'll be with Four. I bite my lip. Christina is looking at Will, and he is looking back at her. Neither of them is really listening to me. All right, Christina says distantly. Well, I'll see you later then. Christina and Will walk toward the dormitories. Christina tousling Will's hair and Will jabbing her in the ribs. For a second, I watch them. I feel like I am witnessing the beginning of something, but I'm not sure what it will be. I jog to the path on the right side of the pit and start to climb. I try to make my footsteps as quiet as possible. Unlike Christina, I don't find it difficult to lie. I don't intend to talk to Four, at least not until I find out where he's going, late at night, in the glass building above us. I run quietly, breathless when I reach the stairs, and stand at one end of the glass room while Four stands at the other. Through the windows I see the city lights, glowing now, but petering out even as I look at them. They are supposed to turn off at midnight. Across the room, Four stands at the door to the fear landscape. He holds a black box in one hand and a syringe in the other. Since you're here, he says, without looking over his shoulder, you might as well go in with me. I bite my lip. Into your fear landscape? Yes. As I walk toward him, I ask, I can do that? The serum connects you to the program, he says, but the program determines whose landscape you go through. And right now, it's set to put us through mine. You would let me see that? Why else do you think I'm going in? He asks quietly. He doesn't lift his eyes. There are some things I want to show you. He holds up the syringe, and I tilt my head to better expose my neck. I feel sharp pain when the needle goes in, but I'm used to it now. When he's done, he offers me the black box. In it is another syringe. I've never done this before, I say as I take it out of the box. I don't want to hurt him. Right here, he says, touching a spot on his neck with his fingernail. I stand on my tiptoes and push the needle in, my hand shaking a little. He doesn't even flinch. He keeps his eyes on me the whole time, and when I'm done, puts both syringes in the box and sets it by the door. He knew that I would follow him up here. Knew or hoped. Either way is fine with me. He offers me his hand and I slide mine into it. His fingers are cold and brittle. I feel like there is something I should say, but I am too stunned and can't come up with any words. He opens the door with his free hand, and I follow him into the dark. I am now used to entering unknown places without hesitation. I keep my breaths even and hold firmly to Four's hand. See if you can figure out why they call me Four, he says. The door clicks shut behind us, taking all the light with it. The air is cold in the hallway. I feel each particle enter my lungs. I inch closer to him so my arm is against his, and my chin is near his shoulder. What's your real name? I ask. See if you can figure that out, too. The simulation takes us. The ground I stand on is no longer made of cement. It creaks like metal. Light pours in from all angles, and the city unfolds around us. Glass buildings and the arc of train tracks, and we are high above it. I haven't seen a blue sky in a long time, so when it spreads out above me, I feel the breath catch in my lungs, and the effect is dizzying. Then the wind starts. It blows so hard I have to lean against Four to stay on my feet. He removes his hand from mine and wraps his arm around my shoulders instead. At first I think it's to protect me, but no. He's having trouble breathing, and he needs me to steady him. He forces breath in and out through an open mouth, and his teeth are clenched. The height is beautiful to me, but if it's here, it is one of his worst nightmares. We have to jump off, right? I shout over the wind. He nods. On three, okay? Another nod. One, two, three! I pull him with me as I burst into a run. After we take the first step, the rest is easy. We both sprint off the edge of the building. We fall like two stones, fast, the air pushing back at us, the ground growing beneath us. Then the scene disappears, and I am on my hands and knees on the floor, grinning. I loved that rush the day I chose Dauntless, and I love it now. Next to me, Four gasps and presses a hand to his chest. I get up and help him to his feet. What's next? It's... Something solid hits my spine. I slam into Four, my head hitting his collarbone. Walls appear on my left and my right. The space is so narrow that Four has to pull his arms into his chest to fit. A ceiling slams onto the walls around us with a crack, and Four hunches over, groaning. The room is just big enough to accommodate his size, and no bigger. Confinement, I say. He makes a guttural noise. I tilt my head and pull back enough to look at him. I can barely see his face. It's so dark, and the air is close. We share breaths. He grimaces like he's in pain. Hey, I say, it's okay, here. I guide his arms around my body so he has more space. He clutches at my back and puts his face next to mine, still hunched over. His body is warm, but I feel only his bones and the muscle that wraps around them. Nothing yields beneath me. My cheeks get hot. Can he tell that I'm still built like a child? This is the first time I'm happy I'm so small, I laugh. If I joke, maybe I can calm him down and distract myself. Mm-hmm, he says. His voice sounds strained. We can't break out of here, I say. It's easier to face the fear head on, right? I don't wait for a response. So what you need to do is make the space smaller. Make it worse so it gets better, right? Yes. It is a tight, tense little word. Okay, we'll have to crouch then. Ready? I squeeze his waist to pull him down with me. I feel the hard line of his rib against my hand and hear the screech of one wood plank against another as the ceiling inches down with us. I realize that we won't fit with all the space between us, so I turn and curl into a ball, my spine against his chest. One of his knees is bent next to my head, and the other is curled beneath me, so I'm sitting on his ankle.